Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tet, Chapter 9. To recap, Chapter 8, Perek Chet. Appointing a king is commanded back in the Torah in Dvarim, so why is the Navi so ambivalent here in Sefer Shmuel? Bnei Israel were disappointed that Shmuel appointed his sons, who were not honest like their father, and they wanted a different system of leadership. They wanted a king to judge them like all the other nations. Kechol Agoyim. Shmuel is very upset and prays to Hashem. Even though this choice is seen as a rejection of both Shmuel and Hashem, Hashem says to Bnei Israel, listen to Bnei Israel and anoint a king. In Shmuel, the whole appointing of a king is shrouded in ambiguity. Radak explains that they asked for a king betar omet. They were looking for an excuse to move away from Hashem, and not for the sake of fulfilling a heavenly commanding. Malbim suggests another idea, that it was wrong to ask for a king at this very moment because Bnei Israel were privileged to have such a unique leader like Shmuel, who can win wars supernaturally by prayer and sacrifice, and was an amazing spiritual leader. By asking for a mere mortal king, they were rejecting the great Shmuel. So who will be this first king? Let's find the answer in our Perek, Perek Tet, Chapter 9. Our first surprise is going to be that the king is from the tribe of Benjamin, Binyamin, and not Yehuda. Yaakov and his blessings in Sefer Breshit, in the book of Genesis, states, Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Leadership will be the domain of Yehuda. So that is question number one. Question number two is that Binyamin is a little bit of a pariah tribe. They were almost decimated in the last chapters of the books of Judges, when they were inhospitable like Zdom to the Levi and his concubine, and she was attacked and left for dead at the host's doorstep, and later the other Shvatim fight a major battle to defend her honor and deplete the number of the tribe of Binyamin and swear not to marry them. How could a king be picked from this tribe? But that was Hashem's choice. Let's see the words in the Psukim. Vayish mi Binyamin ushmo Kish ben Aviel ben Tsror ben Bechorat ben Afiach ben Ishimini Gibor Chayel. And there was a man from Binyamin whose name was Kish. And we have his whole lineage. Velo haya ben, but he had a son, ushmo Shaul, and his name is Shaul, Bachur Vatov, ven ish mi bnei Israel tov mimenu, mishichmo v'mala gavoa mikol ha'am. He had a son whose name was Shaul, an excellent young man, and no one among Bnei Israel was handsomer than he. And he was taller than everybody, a head taller than all the people, Mishichmo Vamala. Shaul is described as the son of a warrior. Kish was the Gibor Chayil. Shaul is not the warrior. Shaul is described as Bachur Vatov, the En Ish mi Bnei Israel Tov Mimenu, Mishichmova Mala Gavoa Mikola Am. As we said, an excellent young man. No one among Bnei Israel was handsomer than he. He was a head taller than everybody. Radak explains that the words Bachur Vatov means his physique and looks are good. Mitzudat David suggests more. Can't be that they're choosing a king just because he looks the part. It means that his actions are good. Bachur Vatov, he's a good person. And also, he's good looking and he's tall. His goodness and his height are his salient characteristics. So far, this is not very promising for a future king. But more importantly, his introduction story is not a kingly one as well. All leaders have important introduction stories in Tanakh, where we see their character and learn their qualities. It many times foreshadows the life of the leader. Rivka is proactive and thinks for herself. Moshe goes out to his brothers and fights to stop injustices. These are characteristics that thread through their lives. There are others who begin more meekly and then develop into powerhouses, like Hannah and Esther. But we learn a lot from introduction stories. Shaul's introduction story is that he can't find the donkeys that his father lost. He is not looking for flocks of sheep or watching flocks of sheep, as is the classic leadership image. He is always relying on his nar, his assistant, to guide him. He is not familiar with Shmuel. How could you not know Shmuel? He is the greatest leader since Devorah and Yehoshua and traveled all around Israel to judge. Shaul also does not have enough money to give a gift to Shmuel when they meet him, and he needs to borrow money from his na'ar, his traveling companion, who is his underling. These particulars signify that Shaul is not ready for this great role without tutelage. He might be very good, Bachor Vatov, and very tall, Mishichmo Vamala, but he is not yet leadership material. But Hashem chooses Shaul and reveals this to Shmuel one day prior to Shaul's arrival, inquiring about the whereabouts of his donkeys. Shaul even steps assuredly into the gates of the city, where the judges convene, and we are starting with Pasuk Yud Chet, verse 18. Vayigash Shaul et Shmuel betoch hashar, vayomer, hagidana li eze bet haro'eh. Shaul approaches Shmuel inside the gate and says, where is the seer? Not knowing that he's speaking to the seer. So Shmuel answers, Anochi haro'eh, I am the seer. Ale lefanai habama, come to the bama, to the tall area and platform in the city, vachaltem imi hayom, and eat with me today. And then, vishlachticha baboker, v'chol asher bilvavcha gidlach. And I will then send you in the morning. Oh, and the donkeys that you're looking for, that you already are missing for 3 days, don't worry about them, because they were found. Don't think about the donkeys. But everyone is thinking, oh, you are the chosen family. Hello. Benyamini anochi, miktanei shiftei Yisrael, umishpachti atziira mikol mishpachot shiftei Binyamin. V'lama dibarta elai kadavar hazeh? Shaul answers, I'm from Binyamin. And that's the smallest tribe now, we know because of the fighting. And my family is the youngest of all those mishpachot, of all those families in Shevet Binyamin. So why are you speaking to me like this? After this discussion, they go and they eat that sacrificial meal. Shaul is seated at the head of the table, given the choicest piece that was reserved for him. Think a little Chana. And when they leave the meal, Shaul takes Shaul up to the roof. And in the morning, Shmuel tells Shaul, send the Nahar away. And we should stay alone together. One of the most famous phrases about Shaul is that he went to look for donkeys and found kingship. When he meets Shaul, he is told to go directly to the place where they will eat the sacrifice, and he is seated at the head of the table. This is important for the later image of the famous Rosh Chodesh meal, where David is absent. Meals and food will take a very important role in Shaul's life. And Shaul is informed that the donkeys were found. Take notice. Shaul did not find the donkeys that he was looking for. He did not finish his task. And when he is saluted for his wonderful family in Yichus, Shaul is surprised. He says he comes from a small tribe and a young family. We know why he feels this way. The story of Pilegesh Bagiva thinned the ranks of Binyamin, and he is painfully aware of that history. In the early morning, when Shaul awakes on the roof, Shmuel tells Shaul to send the Nahar away so he will apprise Shaul of God's word. Shaul wants to speak alone to Shaul without the intermediary of the Nahar. What we will see develop here is a very strong mentoring relationship between Shmuel and Shaul. Shmuel gained so much from being mentored by Eli, and now Shmuel will pay it forward and mentor Shaul and teach him how to be a good king. We'll see if he will also become kind of a surrogate son to Shmuel, as Shmuel became kind of a surrogate son to Eli. What will be the process of transformation that Shaul will undergo, that will unfold in Perek Yud? We're going to see. So to sum up our Perek, the future king is going to be from Binyamin, which is a bit of a surprise because we know the history of Binyamin in the end of Shoftim, in the end of the book of Judges. Shaul is described as an excellent young man, and no one from Bnei Israel is handsomer and taller than he. His goodness and his height are his characteristics. So far, this is not very promising for a future king. But more importantly, his introduction story is also not kingly. His father is described as the warrior. Shaul's story is that he can't find the donkeys that his father lost. And he's always relying on his na'ar, on his underling, to guide him. And he is not familiar with Shmuel. How could you not know Shmuel? He is the greatest leader. And he judges Bnei Israel and traveled around. Also, he does not have enough money to give Shmuel, and he needs to ask money from his na'ar, his traveling companion. Is he not able to plan ahead? And Shaul is informed that the donkeys were found. Take notice. Shaul did not find the donkeys he was looking for. He did not finish the task. And he's also very wary about his lineage. He's from a small family, and he knows the history of Pelegish Bagiva in the end of the book of Judges. What we will see is that Shmuel already starts the process of trying to show Shaul how to be a leader. He wants to send the Na'ar away, and he wants to speak to Shaul alone. He wants to develop this mentorship, this special relationship between him and Shaul. Just as Shmuel gained so much from being mentored by Eli, now Shmuel wants to mentor Shaul and teach him how to be a good king. What we see from this introduction story that Shaul is not natural to become king. He has his goodness, which is a great quality for a leader if channeled correctly. He could learn the art of kingship, but he needs mentoring. And who will be his mentor? That will be Shmuel. But what kind of transformation process does Shaul have to undergo in order to become king? That we will see in chapter 10 in Perek Yud. Thank you for studying together, Ilui Nishmat Frida, Bat Moshe Eliyahu.